and good morning. It is Tuesday, April 17th, and today it was on this date back in 1964 when Ford Mustang made its official sales debut. It was just over $2,000 to buy a bare bones model, but it wasn't too much more to add options like a radio, power steering,
wheels,
air conditioning. And on that date, because you had to take orders for this, Ford dealers nationwide took 22,000 orders for the Mustang. I don't know how long it took before those owners received their car. Colors ranged from twilight turquoise to the super popular Rangoon red.
I didn't know they had those fancy colors back then.
Yeah.
I thought everything was just red, white, blue, green, and black.
Yeah. No, they kind of set the bar for all of those great colors,
$2,000 sounds like a lot of money for back then.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you think about it, that's a lot of cash in 1964.
Right, right, when the annual income was probably...
$3,000.
Yeah, well...
No, probably about $8,000, $10,000 a year.
$8,000 to $10,000 maybe,
yeah. Probably.
So after 1 year, Mustang sales reached $417,000, more than quadrupling Ford's projection, and within 2 years, sales had topped $1 million. I bet you could get a pretty good return on your investment if you never drove your Mustang much and you still have it in good condition. Does Jeff Hall have a Mustang or what? Or he just has a convertible?
I'm not sure.
I don't know what brand he has. I don't remember.
We'll have to talk to him about that.
If it's a Mustang or not, but if you have. Oh, Jeff Hall.
Here he is.
He heard us talking about him.
Okay. Oh, he's going to go in with you, I bet.
You're going to grab a mic.
I'm going to grab a mic.
All right. You're on.
I'm on number three.
Yes. All right. So do you have a Mustang?
I have two.
Two Mustangs.
Two Mustangs.
Two Mustangs. You can only drive one at a time. Oh, you have to put.
There we go. Hi, everybody.
No, we can hear you.
I have I'm on number seven and number eight lifetime totals. My second car ever was a 1969 Mach 1, which was a really fast car.
Mm-hmm.
Can't believe my parents let me have that. I got pulled over by the state patrol one time, and
that's because he wanted to race you.
Yeah.
No, and this is when I was 17, and it was a little bit of a fiasco because my mom had a different last name than me by this time. She had remarried. And so I really had to do some explaining what I was doing in this high-powered car that was not registered to me. And they actually called my mom.
Just to verify.
I've never seen that boy before in my life.
She probably could have done that. And he was gone. I just had a broken lens on the taillight, so it wasn't like I was like goofing around or anything. And he came back and he said, this car's about 300 horsepower, isn't it? And I said, yeah, ain't it cool? And he said, does your mom like you? So, yeah, I've always had them. I've had pretty much every model from the little six-cylinder. I had a little four-cylinder. Now I have two. One is a coupe, which is in storage since 2013. I just don't have the budget to keep it going. And I found a 20-year-old convertible that I bought for next to nothing, and it turned out to be such a sweet little car that I thought I was just going to have it for like one summer or and this will be my seventh summer with it.
Oh.
So
you keep it in storage except for once we finally get warm weather.
Right,
then you
bring chomping at the bit to get it out.
Yes.
Yeah, I park it like in November, and usually I get it out in April, but I think it might be July.
Yeah.
How much could you get for that car now?
How much could I get for the convertible?
Yeah.
It's probably worth about $4,000.
Okay. Mm.
But I was listening to you guys, and yeah, if you've got something from the original 1964 and a half up to 1967, if you've got something like that in really good shape, yeah, you're sitting on a gold mine.
Isn't the 66 Mustang supposed to be the best ever? Is it the 66 that they always talk about?
That could be. That could be. A lot. The coveted ones are the 64 and a halves.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Because they came out halfway through the model year.
Right. And because it was on this date that they started taking orders for
pre-orders.
Them. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And what did I say on that first day? In 1964, on this date, It costs $2,000.
Sure.
Just to order a bare bones one. And that on this date back in 1964, Ford dealers nationwide took 22,000 orders for those Mustangs.
For a car that they didn't know if they'd even be able to sell.
Wow.
Yes.
How much did the car cost with the engine?
Right?
Yeah.
Well, they were based on the Ford Falcon. I don't know if anybody remembers those.
Oh, I remember that.
Okay. Oh, yep. Mm-hmm.
And then in 1969, they started, in 1971, they started basing them on the Ford Torino chassis. So the car was like, those Mustangs are about twice as big as the Falcon ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started putting them on a Pinto chassis. They called them the Mustang II. Those weren't real popular because they were a little too much like a Pinto.
Oh, right.
And then after that, they started what was called the Fox Body, and that turned out to be really popular. It wasn't really based on any other of Ford's products. It was kind of its own entity. And Mercury actually made a Mustang-like car that was called a Capri. And I had one of those, too.
Mm.
So that was one of the eight that I had.
Well,
I'd like to get another one. I'd like to get number 9 and then hang it up, because I'd really like to get one with a V8 engine in it.
Because
I feel that I'm old and mature enough now that I could afford insurance for it.
Oh, sure.
There you go.
Right.
Probably will never happen, but that is on my bucket list.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing that with us, Jeff.
I heard you say my name, and I just had to come
And if you have any questions out there for Jeff concerning your car,
right?
Give us a call.
Thanks, guys.
Call after 2 o'clock this afternoon when you're
on. We'll start the show with Mustang Sally and just see where it goes.
Okay.
Yeah. Just don't call me late for dinner.
All right. Besides being our... And welcome back to the Idea Exchange. It is 9:45, and it's time to check in with Daryl Schoenfeld from Beaver Dam Piggly Wiggly. Good morning, Daryl.
Beginning to look a lot like Christmas out there,
Brenda. Yeah, and I was going to say it's probably 72 and sunny, and so people are probably camped out in your parking lot with their lawn chairs and their sun umbrellas, right?
You got that right. In fact, we'll be putting some pictures up on Facebook pretty soon here with all the people out there with their grills going and everything. It is 72 and sunny here on the beautiful east side of Beaver Dam, but elsewhere in town and throughout the area here, it's...
We can only wish.
Yeah,
I know.
Beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
And we're supposed to get more tomorrow, too.
That's what I heard.
Oh,
that's what I heard. My goodness. This is one for the ages, no doubt about it.
That is true. But you've got lots of great specials going on this week in this week's ad that can warm everybody up with all the savings that they'll get.
Yes, well, of course, if they don't want to get the grill out quite yet, we've got a boneless rump roast that they can put in the oven for only $1.99 a pound. Now, that is a certified Angus beef boneless rump roast for only $1.99 a pound. Family pack ground round, only $2.99 a pound. Here's something else that you could put in the crock pot maybe or in the Instapot or in the oven. We've got roasting chickens for only 79 cents a pound. Boneless pork ribeye roast, only $1.79 a pound. So we've got a lot of great things that you can put in the oven while we get through this cold weather, this cold, snowy weather. But I think I'm going to predict by the 4th of July we should be
seeing... We should all be 72 and sunny by then, right?
Seeing some sunshine and some warmer weather. So
not that long.
That's my prediction. So in the produce department, Brenda, red seedless grapes, only $1.49 a pound. Some of your favorite Kellogg cereals, here's a great deal. We've got Fruit Loops, Rice Krispies, Frosted Flakes or Corn Flakes, only $1.49 when you buy multiples of 3. Hunt's Pasta Sauce, only 69 cents for the 24-ounce can, only 69 cents. What a great inexpensive way to feed the family. We've got White Bread, only 89 cents for the 24-ounce loaf. Piggly Wiggly gallon milk, 1%, 2% or skim, only $1.99. And extra laundry detergent, only $1.99 for the 75-ounce bottle of that. So a lot of great things going on. at Beaver Dam Piggly Wiggly. And I understand there's going to be another show next week, Brenda.
That's right. You and Beaver Dam Piggly Wiggly is sponsoring Bill Lysis from your deli department to come out, and we are going to do another video show on Thursday. I believe that's the 26th.
Yes,
I don't have a calendar in front of me, but
yes,
on the 26th, and since it's a couple of weeks away from Mother's Day, we are going to offer up Mother's Day breakfast ideas so kids can make mom breakfast in bed without a lot of trouble, and we're going to show you how you can use your waffle iron or waffle maker to make more than just waffles. We've got some really fun ideas to share with everybody who tunes in. So I'm really looking forward to our second segment.
Well, I am too. That's sounds like a great idea for Mother's Day, just the perfect timing. And I know Bill has been talking about it too. He's pretty excited to get back on the air with you. And it should be a great show.
And yeah, and we'll invite, of all the different options that we have, I'd like to tell everybody who's watching or listening, they can then vote during the program on what they think their favorite one, or what, as a mom, what they would like best. We're going to show you two different ways to do omelets, and then using the waffle iron, a number of different ways that you can make different breakfast ideas, and I'll have some craft ideas that the kids can do during my first half hour of the program. So it'll be a lot of fun, and we hope everybody who's listening today will tune into DailyDodge.com, because you'll be able to see it happening live. You'll be able to watch the program rather than just listen to it.
Well, that sounds great, Brenda, and looking forward to it. And just wanted to mention, it is 8 months and a week until Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah. Well, it feels like it could be next week.
Next week, yes. Yeah. Well, this isn't bad weather for December.
Yes, so. That's right. Well, we'll check in with you in a couple of weeks, and we'll probably see you here at the radio station next Thursday, Daryl, okay?
Yes, you will. All right. Thank you, Brenda.
Okay, thank you. Again, make a point to stop out at Beaver Dam Piggly Wiggly for all of those great specials that, and we only touched on a few of them that were on the front page. So get a look at this week's ad, or just stop in and kind of walk through the store. You're going to always find something that you can take home for your family. We need to take another break. We'll be back.
Don't forget to join us for another edition of The Garden Doctor tomorrow morning from 10:30 until 11 o'clock, as Dick Zondag from Jung's Garden Center in Randolph will be in-house to answer your gardening-related questions, like what to plant, where to plant, when should you prune back your icicles.
Yes.
All the answers will be given right here on WBEV, 10:30 to 11 tomorrow with the Garden Doctor. And then if you miss the show, you can listen to it at 10:10 on Saturday, the same show, replayed.
That's right.
So forget about the snow out there. Think green.
Think spring. Yep. And thinking spring, you know, you've finished all your holiday sewing projects, so now is the perfect time to contact Daniel Ault of Ultimate Sewing Machine and Repair to have your sewing machine cleaned and serviced. While you're there, you can demo an innovative new brand. Call Ultimate Sewing Machine Repair in Fox Lake to schedule a time to take your machine in for spring cleaning. Daniel is ready to provide exceptional service with quick turnaround time. Let him keep you in stitches. Just call 920-AULT. That's 920. It's 928-AULT. If you're calling long distance, it's 920-928-2858. That's Ault Sewing Machine and Repair. And coming up in our Book Nook segment, at 10:05, I'm going to be talking with Carolyn Porter. Her book is called Marcel's Letters, A Font and the Search for One Man's Fate. And this is an incredible story if you like history, if you just like a good love story, or if you like a mystery, because there was a search that sent Carolyn many, many different directions to find the answers that she was looking for. And she designed a font out of it. So we'll kind of learn about that aspect as well. So that is coming up at 10:05. And we want you to keep it right here. Now, tomorrow I will not be here because I am hosting the bus to the Brewer game, although the weather sounds like we will have an adventure when we go there. I had a pair of tickets that came up unexpectedly for the bus ride. So if you would like to get two tickets to the Brewer game tomorrow, I know this is short notice, but we're giving these tickets away. The people that were going to be on the bus cannot make it. So you will have a pair of tickets. You don't have to worry about driving down there. And we will take the first caller, 885-4446, who has tomorrow afternoon off, actually all day tomorrow, because the bus leaves from Slumberland parking lot at 9:45. Please call only if you have tomorrow free and you don't mind being on an adventure. It's supposed to be rainy and snowy in the morning, and then turning to all snow. We could get an accumulation of 1 to 5 inches. It'll be nice inside the stadium because, of course, the roof will be covering the field. So we'll be fine in there. It's just a matter of getting from the bus parking lot up to the stadium. So if you would, if you have tomorrow open and you would like these two tickets.
We have an individual who wants the tickets.
Okay.
Our good listener, Wally Henry.
Okay. Wally, you can pick these up. Well, actually, you can just come tomorrow to Slumberland. I'll have the tickets in an envelope for you. Again, the bus is leaving at 9:45 tomorrow morning in the Slumberland parking lot, and we ask you to park closer to the McDonald's side than Slumberland. Leave the parking spaces close to the store for the Slumberland patrons. Park closer to North Spring Street, and we'll have those tickets in an envelope for you and your guests.
Okay, and then the envelope, where will the envelope be?
I will have the
envelope. You will have
the,
oh, sorry,
I will be handing out all
the tickets.
Forgot,
you're going along.
That's right.
You're going to wear your, uniform do you have? Anybody's uniform?
Well,
any players?
I have a Prince Fielder t-shirt, and I also have, do I have anybody else? I don't think so. The other ones just say the Brewers
on it.
Yeah. But I have to figure out, do I want to just take my boots along in the bus just in case?
You never know.
It's really snowy, and I know.
Is there an overhead bin?
Is there? Yeah, I think there is. Plus, you can put them under the seat, or there is storage.
Yeah.
This is a coach bus, so
right.
So it's a nice luxury bus that we will be traveling. You just want to dress warm enough because we'll be in the bus parking lot, which is a little bit of a hike up to the stadium. But as I said, once we're inside, it should be nice inside there. You can bring your own food and drinks for the bus. And then for Wally, just show up tomorrow morning, and when the Lamers bus is there, we'll get everyone boarded, and I will hand out the tickets at that time. So, but we will be going no matter what the weather is, unless, of course, Lamers would call and cancel. But buses are pretty heavy duty. I think that's why it's nice to get on the bus trip, because you don't have to worry about parking or scraping off your car. You don't have to worry about the driving in the bad weather. And hopefully the Brewers will show us a win tomorrow. So that will be tomorrow. And John Kraft will be taking over for me during the idea exchange. Besides today being what did we say? Mustang Day. It's Submarine Day. Submarine, do you celebrate the submarine submersible boat or the kind of Big Hero sandwich? Well, actually, it was on this date back in 1900 when the U.S. Submarine Force was established. So maybe you want to get out your movie, that favorite movie that has submarines in it, and watch that, or do some research online, or take a trip to the library and check out some books on submarine, or maybe go to a deli or a sandwich place and get a submarine sandwich or make your own. So submarine sandwich is today. It's also National Cheese Ball Day. And again, here's a bizarre holiday that you can celebrate eating the light, airy, puffy cheese balls that you munch on as a snack. Or you could make up a cheese ball that's usually decorated with nuts, sits on a party tray until you spread it on a cracker. So whether it's celebrating the dairy industry or the snack industry, It is a National Cheese Ball Day today. And if you go to our website, you will be able to see today's recipe by going to dailydodge.com, clicking on the recipe tab, and we've got a recipe for a pineapple cheese ball that was featured back in 2009, January 29th, 2009. Very easy. It just uses cream cheese, chopped pecans, a little bit of salt, crushed pineapple, green pepper, and some finely chopped onion, and you mix that together to form this pineapple cheese ball, which would make a nice snack or appetizer. So those are some of the bizarre holidays today, and if you check out the recipe page at dailydodge.com, you can find that full recipe for the pineapple cheese ball. You're listening to The Idea Exchange.
This is WBEV Beaver Dam. Take advantage of the Countryside Ford Quick Lane Works Package. Oil change, tire rotation, free inspection, $39.95. No appointment necessary Monday through Saturday. Countryside Ford, 330 Transit Road, Columbus. And for the latest local news online all the time, for free, log on to the new dailydodge.com where we stream live. It is 10:05. Back to Brenda and the Idea Exchange.
And right now that means it's time for Book Nook. Seeking inspiration for a new font design in an antique store in Stillwater, Minnesota, graphic designer Carolyn Porter found a packet of old letters and was immediately drawn to the expressive pen and ink handwriting. She couldn't read the letters, they were in French, but she noticed they'd been signed by a man named Marcel and mailed from Berlin to France during the middle of World War II. When the publicist packet for Marcel's letters, A Font and the Search for One Man's Fate, came across my desk, I knew I just had to read this book and schedule an interview. And I'm very pleased to welcome Carolyn Porter, author of this wonderful story, to our Book Nook segment today. Good morning, Carolyn, and welcome.
Morning. I'm delighted to be with you.
I am so excited to share your story with my listeners. I think the font is what caught my eye. However, the story captured my heart. It just is an incredible story, and I can't thank you enough for writing it and telling it.
it started as one thing. You know, it started as simply the plan to design a font based on this beautiful old handwriting without having any idea of what it was going to turn into, that it was going to turn into this search for information about this man and then ultimately a book. Yeah, so it was just one of those things that began very innocently one way into something entirely different.
And you really have been quite a journey since you found those letters. First of all, tell us how you discovered them and what it was about the letters that drew you to them.
So my background is as a graphic designer, and as a graphic designer, I work with type and typography all the time on client projects. And related to that, I've studied fonts. I love old handwriting, and I wanted to design a font that mimicked the look of old handwriting, right? It's not a weird thing for a graphic designer, but I'd been looking for old letters that I could use as the source documents for the font. And I was at an antique store in Stillwater, Minnesota, and I saw these beautiful old letters. They were yellowed. The edges were ruffled like a feather. They were painted in the background. And the handwriting was just beautiful. And even though I couldn't read them, I could tell that these letters were special.
Yeah, and I think just because of the way Marcel's handwriting was, I mean, that when I first opened up the folder, it was like, oh my gosh, that's beautiful lettering. I love handwriting too, and I feel it's a lost art with everybody texting and everything like that these days, and some places in schools they don't even teach cursive handwriting anymore. So I think that was one of the things that that caught my eye. And as I understand, as you said, you were just looking to search for a design for a font, but how long did you have the letters before you started working on the font? When you got home after buying these few letters, did you start that font project right away?
I did. And so the first step was to scan in these letters so then I could begin identifying specific letters, that being like ABC in his handwriting that I wanted to turn into the font. But once I scan the original letters, I put the originals away for safekeeping. And then for the next 9 years, I worked on this font evenings and weekends. But really, I just looked at one letter at a time, like a big A would be on my computer screen. And so I had forgotten the beauty and this sentimentality of the original letters. But it was a one of those forest for the trees moments when I looked at the original letters again and realized I had forgotten how beautiful they were and just that there was a story behind the letters.
And so not knowing how to speak or read French, you decided to have the letters translated. I guess you just started with one letter, right?
Right. And it was just a curiosity of, I want to see who this guy is, Marcel, whose handwriting I knew so well. And it started very small. In that I thought, yep, I'll just have one letter translated and find out who he is. So then at least I could put more of a name and a story to this handwriting. But of course, having that one letter translate just opened this Pandora's box of having to have all of the letters translated and going on this quest that lasted a year to try to put together the pieces of what happened to him.
And I know that as you started, I kind of made a timeline when I got the book. I put aside all the other books that were in my queue to read before this interview because I just wanted to read the story. And I started out reading it like all the time that I could. I couldn't get it finished in one sitting because there was too much detail. But I also found as I got towards the end of the book, maybe there were 2, 3, 4 chapters left, it was like I started to really slow down as I read it because I didn't want the story to end. And I'm sure you felt like that too, even more intensely than what I was feeling.
Love that. Yes, although, for me, by the time that I wrote the book, I had lived everything. You know, it's a true story.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I had already had that closure in the questions answered. So then for me, the end of the story was really telling the world the story.
Right. And somewhere along your journey, you say you became beholden, that the search for Marcel changed from curiosity to responsibility. Can you expand on that a little bit?
So for months, I just was on this quest to find out what happened to him. So he was an ordinary French civilian who had been forced to go to Berlin to work for the Germans. He was working in a factory making Panther tanks. The Americans and the British were bombing factories like that, right? What would we want to bomb more than a factory making tanks? And the more that I looked for him, the more it seemed like he had been lost to time, that I couldn't find anything about him. And after reading these beautiful words of love that he wrote to his wife and his daughters, I had to know, and I refused to let him be forgotten. And it did. It changed from this curiosity to honoring this person that lived and loved and wanted so desperately to be with his family that I did. I felt beholden to honor him through the font, honor him through finding answers.
And you just were diligent and researched so much, and you found out more about World War II, I suppose, than you ever knew and ever thought you would ever know, right?
It turns out that this part of history, that being the conscription of French civilians into German labor, is a part of history that's largely been forgotten to time.
Mm-hmm. And you did have a chance to go to Paris because through this journey, you met a lot of people who helped you find the answers that you were seeking.
Right. At times, I felt like I was this typographic Pied Piper that was this motley group of people, you know, translators and people who had heard about this story, that they all became invested in the story, and they too wanted to know what happened to Marcel.
And I know that you felt Marcel's presence with you during your journey and research into finding out who he was and where he went and if he survived the war. And there, throughout the story, you share some different signs that you were given. Can you just share one or two of those?
Oh, goodness. So I ended up contacting, you know, any researcher that I thought that might be able to help. And one of the most interesting finds, or one of the people that got involved with this, was a Daimler researcher in Stuttgart, Germany, who went into their archives and found, you know, a handwritten record of his entry into the labor camp. And so documents like that that matched information in his letters, all of those were puzzle pieces that helped me eventually find answers.
And what was it like to visit the site where Marcel's home had once stood?
Oh, it was surreal. You know, he had described in detail a pond where he went fishing and woods, the nearby woods and fields, and to stand on that land that sustained his wife and daughters during the war, and to see the woods and the pond, you know, it actually gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. Goosebumps right now.
Right, because you absorbed your life into his life, basically. You purchased 5 letters, but then you were able to retrieve 12 more letters. Right. Have you, since the book has come out, have you been able to establish how the letters got to Stillwater and... Well, you do say you found out how they got to Stillwater, but how they actually left Marcel's home and ended up in Stillwater, I guess would be a better question.
No. I have a few theories that are in the book, and one of those theories I would be willing to put a little bit of money on, but there is a gap in the chain of custody that I don't know that we'll ever have an answer to.
And that maybe is kind of a good thing, too, because a little mystery doesn't hurt surrounding this story that took on a life of its own. Do you think that there were originally a lot of letters there and you chose to purchase just 5 of them and then got some more later on? But do you think with having the book published that maybe more letters will surface and you'll get in contact with even more of the story?
That would be amazing. I would love that. And as I was writing, that hope certainly was in the back of my mind that someday somebody is going to read this book and say, gosh, I think I have some of his letters, because I know more letters were sold at the antique store in Stillwater.
And yeah, that would just be like the cherry on top of the sundae, I guess, if you could get a few more of those. I do also want to talk to you because not only did you tell Marcel's story in Marcel's letter, but you tell your story of developing this font and all of the effort, the blood, sweat, and tears that you put into that to get it to be purchased by, now I don't even know how exactly that works, but like a designer company or a development company. So what was it like when you were able to find out that your font was going to be published?
Oh, gosh, at that point, I had been working on it for 12 years, which sounds ridiculous. That was evenings and weekends. And when I started the project, I thought it was, you know, going to be a couple months tops, but how these things go. The font design software is incredibly complex and technical, but seeing the font based on Marcel's beautiful handwriting in use, I've seen it on a lot of wedding invitations and whatnot, I think just helps share his story and the love that he had for his family. It's been a great honor to see that font in use.
And then there was the International Font Design Competition. Now, I want to tell my listeners that about 200 submissions from 29 countries were entered into this competition, and you were one of 24 winners selected. There were only 10 from the United States. And the thing that impressed me most about that, Carolyn, is the fact that the judges didn't know the story behind this font. They were just judging it strictly on its design merit. So what was that like when you found out that you had won that prestigious award?
I actually started crying. I was so overwhelmed. And you're right, competition submissions were anonymous, so the designer couldn't be identified, the name of the font couldn't be identified, you couldn't include anything on backstory. So it was just judged on craftsmanship and artistry. And since the book came out, I have heard other people, including men, who have also started crying when they won that award.
So, yeah, that must have just been an incredible honor. Do you have a website where people could get more information?
Thank you. So it is www.carolyn-porter.com. Okay. My name with a dash.
Between the first and last name. Okay, Carolyn-Porter.com. Well, Marcel's Letters is an incredible story of hope and tenacity, both Marcel's story and that of your quest to design a font. And you weave both stories together in this beautiful book. And I should tell everybody, there's the added bonus of 17 translated, never-before-published letters that were mailed from a German labor camp to this man's family back in France. And I want to thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. It was my pleasure. And I hope all of my listeners will get a copy of your book because it is an incredible read. Thanks so much. You have a great day. All right. And again, the book is called Marcel's Letters, A Font and the Search for One Man's Fate. And the author is Carolyn Porter. She lives in White Bear Plains, Minnesota, anyway. She lives in Minnesota, and you'll want to check out this book because not only does it tell you some probably unknown information about World War II, but there are all these beautiful letters that this man wrote to his family and her search and quest to find all of the answers. We are going to take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the ID Exchange. It is 10:24. If you've got a great tasting recipe, give us a call. If you're looking for a special recipe, you can call and we will try to track that down for you. Ultimate Sewing Machine Repair is now introducing the Eversewn Sparrow line of sewing machines. Schedule a time with Daniel to demo an innovative new brand. The Eversewn Sparrow offers good quality and it's user-friendly, a perfect lightweight choice for travel. There are four different models to choose from, and each one holds an attractive price point. The Sparrow line encourages all generations of crafters, sewers, quilters, and artisans to take their creativity to flight. It will be love at first stitch. Call Daniel at Ultimate Sewing Machine today at 920-928-AULT. That's 928-2858. And, of course, our phone number is 885-4446. You can call us if you've got a question or if you have a recipe to share. And if you're going to be out and about running some errands today, why not stop at Walker's Family Restaurant for lunch? Today's soup and sandwich is ham salad on fresh-baked marble rye bread. And your soup choices are chicken dumpling, broccoli au gratin, and chili. Or how about a Fish Witch Deluxe? Hand-battered cod, deep-fried until it's golden brown, topped with lettuce, tomatoes, and melted American cheese, served on a grilled bun, and accompanied by your choice of either a garden salad, a cup of homemade soup, fresh fruit, or golden brown French fries. They're also featuring the ABLT salad at Walker's today. You'll get slices of red, delicious apple, crispy bacon, cherry tomatoes, and cheddar cheese served on crisp garden greens and accompanied by an apple vinaigrette or the dressing of your choice and a cranberry scone. Baked chicken is one of Walker's House specialties, and you can get either the dark meat portion or the white meat portion. They're also serving up the old-fashioned hot sandwich today, your choice of roast beef, turkey, or meatloaf sandwich, served with mashed potatoes and smothered with their homemade gravy. Country Fried Chicken is also on today's menu, as is the soup, salad, and breadsticks. And, of course, you want to make sure that you save room for dessert. Today's features are tropical pie, which is a delicious blend of pineapple, bananas, coconut, and vanilla pudding in a flaky crust, topped with whipped topping, coconut, and a drizzle of chocolate, or Walker's homemade carrot cake, topped with cream cheese, frosting, and walnuts, and served with vanilla ice cream. So make it a point to stop at Walker's, where you are going to find something for everyone on the menu. Leslie had given me this information. She had printed it off Facebook. If you are a Facebook user and if you received this message, it states that it's from Mark Zuckerberg, the director of Facebook, but there are a lot of inconsistencies. It is not real, and you don't want to do what it tells you to do, or you could induce a virus into your computer. There are two greetings in the heading, so that's kind of the first tip-off. Plus, Mark Zuckerberg is not the director of Facebook. There are a lot of spelling errors, lots of punctuation and sentence structure misuse. So if you receive that telling you you need to forward this string to 18 different people on your Facebook list, 18 of your friends, then, or if you don't, then you will start being charged for using Facebook. That is inaccurate. It is untrue. So just make sure that you don't do anything with that. You don't want to send it forward to other friends in your Facebook list. So just passing that information along. And if you're going to be out running errands or having lunch at Walker's, you can head over to Beaver Dam Community Hospital in the conference rooms just off the main lobby. They are holding the second and final day of their huge sale of almost everything is what it's called. Almost everything there is $6, but there are also some specials as well. You'll find name brand top quality products for men and women, lots of accessories, jewelry, watches, lots of different things that you will find, and all around $6 per item. This runs until 5 o'clock today, again at the Beaver Dam Community Hospital, and the sale benefits the partners for Beaver Dam Community Hospital. And then tonight, there will be a Beaver Dam Apartment Fire Survivor Community Support Dinner. It is happening at the Watermark from 5 until 6. The Community Meal Coalition is providing a dinner free of charge to the survivors of the 3rd Street apartment fire, and the intent is to provide survivors a supportive platform where they can talk to others and share amongst fellow survivors. Two rooms will be provided, one for everyone and one specifically for the survivors. And the Watermark will keep its doors open after the dinner to facilitate sharing and conversation. And you're listening to the Idea Exchange. And welcome back to the Idea Exchange. It is 10:38, and right now it's time to check in with Marianne Totch from Lamer's Tour and Travel. Good morning, Marianne.
Good morning.
I feel we should be talking about, a Branson Christmas tour or going down to Chicago to see all of the Christmas windows. But you've got, go ahead.
I'm boycotting anything to do with winter.
Okay. Instead, you've got a really super spectacular tour to tell us about.
I do. It's called Croatia Explorer. It's a 9-day, 8-night trip in September on the 18th. And as with all of our fly programs, your airfare is included in the price, and we will pick you up at your local city, local hometown, and take you to the airport. So that's a big inclusion on all of our programs. And this tour is really all about, for me, I think it's all about the Adriatic Sea, because it's we're going to fly in and out of Zagreb, which is the capital of Croatia. And many things to see there, St. Stephen's Cathedral. There's a sea organ, which actually plays music by way of the sea waves. There's tubes, and it's an amazing thing to see. Of course, the Dalmatian coast, and all of that stuff is like 3rd century. So you really, you know, you're getting a little bit of history and such beauty at the same time. And one of the highlights as well is of dinner cruise on a replica of a sailing ship. So a 16th century sailing ship. And again, it's all about that sea, the blue-green waters of the Adriatic Sea, and September's a great time to travel there. So really a kind of a bucket list or a once-in-a-lifetime type of trip.
And so that, again, is 9 days, 8 nights, and it leaves September 18th, correct?
Correct.
Right. And if anybody wants more details, of course, they can give you a call. What's the best phone number, Marianne?
Right. We're right over in Juneau, so 386-2600 or 1-800-236-8687. And certainly, as you know, all of our tours are out there on the web as well, and that's golamers.com.
All right. Well, we'll check in with you again next week and find out where the bus is headed next, okay?
All right.
Right. Bye. So if you want the Croatia Explorer and want to be a part of that wonderful tour, give Marianne a call, 386-2600, or long distance, 1-800-236-8687. 8687, or you can check out even a few more of the details, or for any of the other day trips or weekend trips that you might be really experiencing cabin fever now and want to get away somewhere warm, go to the website golamers.com. Our phone number is 885-4446. If you have a recipe that you would like to share with us, or if you are looking for a particular recipe, you can give us a call. We had someone looking for name and number of a master gardener in the area yesterday, so if you can help us out with that. Somebody else was wondering if there was any sugar content difference between golden raisins and regular. The only thing I could find is the way that they are dried. Golden raisins are dehydrated. That's why they stay yellow or golden in color, whereas other raisins are put out in the sun to dry that way. We talked about trying to curb sugar cravings, and a website that I found said if you try eating root vegetables like carrots, beets, yams, and sweet potatoes, you can get a sweet flavor from those vegetables. You can roast a whole tray of veggies, or you can bake sweet potato fries, or use those vegetables to make a creamy soup. And sometimes if you're feeling hungry or feeling cravings, it can be because you're dehydrated. So maybe an herbal tea might be good to introduce. We also wanted more information about the egg recall and affected stores. I believe I heard on the afternoon news segment that it was some Walmart stores, and there was another one, but it wasn't anything that was located close by to our listening area. But I don't have any more details than that. If someone else does, you can call in and share that. And we are looking for a phone number from Publishers Clearinghouse. So if you've got an answer to any of those questions, you can call us at 885-4446. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
The Wireless Zone of West Bend and Beaver Dam, reinventing your relationship with your wireless provider. Visit one of our locations for deals and the latest devices. Spring is finally arriving, and Hoekstra's Market and Greenhouse on Highway A in Fox Lake will be opening at the end of April. You can like them on Facebook or visit them online at hoekstras.net. That's hoekstras.net. I practiced spelling that word from yesterday.
Very good. You get Thank a star right. or right. an A or whatever.
To the front of the class.
In front of the class, right. It is a 10:45, so we have about 15 minutes left of the program. Yesterday I was sharing, because I'm really trying to think spring here, I found an article on spring vegetables. You can always buy any kind of food at any time of the year, but in spring, you'll get the best produce from these tender spring vegetables. And I talked about fiddlehead ferns and leeks and English peas. Ramps is another spring vegetable. They're small, uncultivated leeks that are especially popular in places like West Virginia and in Canada, where local laws limit annual per capita consumption to 50 ramps. Both the thin stalks and the green leaves are edible, and tasters compared their pungent flavor to scallions crossed with garlic. It's easy. You can use these to quickly grill them, mix them into scrambled eggs, or use in place of onion and garlic in pan sauces. And they also taste wonderful if you pickle them. Now, ramps are something that I think the very first time I heard about them was in the fairy tale of was it Rumpelstiltskin? Or else it was Rapunzel. I think it was Rapunzel, where they talked about having to go to the neighbor's garden and they picked ramps, and I didn't know what those were up until that point. Watercress is another spring vegetable that if you haven't tried it, you might want to. Watercress likes the water, and it grows on the banks of streams and rivers, and much commercial production is hydroponic, meaning that it's grown in water without soil. Now, you can eat the stems right along with the leaves, and watercress has a very sharp, spicy, and peppery flavor. That spice is tamed by cooking, and so it's good to toss into salads or to use it as a bed for cooked steak. It will temper the richness of the beef. Another spring vegetable that you might want to look at are fava beans. Fava beans are work because first you must shell them, then strip off their fibrous interior, and it's easier if you blanch the shelled beans first. Their buttery, rich flavor makes them worth the bother, though, because as they're large and flat, favas sometimes are called broad beans. They are popular in the Middle East and in the Mediterranean, where they are sautéed with garlic in oil, boiled and served cold in salads, or cooked and pureed into a spread. Another one that probably we are most familiar with is asparagus. Asparagus is available all year round, but the early spring crop is the sweetest and the most tender. You want to discard the stalk ends, which can be dry and tough, snap them off, or line them up and slice the ends simultaneously. For most recipes, tender asparagus about the diameter of a pencil is what you are looking for. If you have larger asparagus, you want to peel those and reserve for grilling or roasting. Store it upright in the refrigerator with the stalk set in a glass or a bowl of water, and you want the tips covered with a plastic bag. Maybe you have some good ways to prepare asparagus. I found this recipe for asparagus goat cheese tart. Now, this serves four as a main dish, and it uses some puff pastry as the base. You want 1 9.5 by 9 inch sheet of puff pastry thawed, 6 ounces of asparagus trimmed and cut 1/4 inch thick on the bias into 1 inch lengths. So you need 1 cup of cut and trimmed asparagus, 2 scallions sliced thin, 3 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil, 2 tablespoons of chopped, pitted Kalamata olives, 1 garlic clove minced, 1/4 teaspoon of grated lemon zest, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, and 4 ounces or 1 cup of goat cheese softened. So again, the ingredients for this asparagus goat cheese tart: 1 9.5 by 9 inch sheet of puff pastry thawed, 6 ounces of asparagus trimmed and cut 1/4 inch thick into 1 inch lengths, that would be 1 cup, 2 scallions sliced thin, 3 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, 2 tablespoons of chopped pitted Kalamata olives, 1 garlic clove minced, 1/4 teaspoon of grated lemon zest, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, plus 4 ounces or 1 cup of goat cheese softened. Now, to make this asparagus goat cheese tart, you'll adjust your oven racks to the lower, middle, and to the top positions, and heat your oven to 400. Line rimmed baking sheets with parchment paper and place the puff pastry in the center of the sheet. Grease the underside of an 8-inch square baking pan and place that in the center of the puff pastry. You want to fill that empty pan with pie weights, and using a sharp paring knife, score the puff pastry around the perimeter of the pan 1/8 inch deep. Now, you don't want to cut all the way through the pastry. Leaving the pan on the pastry, bake on the lower middle oven rack for 20 minutes. Remove the pan, rotate the sheet, and continue to bake until the pastry is golden brown for about 5 to 10 minutes. Then you're going to let that cool for 30 minutes. Meanwhile, you will combine the asparagus, scallions, 1 tablespoon of oil, olives, garlic, lemon zest, salt, and the pepper in a bowl. And in a separate bowl, mix 3/4 cup goat cheese with 1 tablespoon of oil until smooth. Spread the goat cheese mixture evenly over the cooled puff pastry, but now you want to avoid the raised border. Then scatter the asparagus mixture over the top. Crumble the remaining 1/4 cup goat cheese over the top of the asparagus mixture. You'll bake the tart on the top oven rack until the asparagus is tender and the tart shell has darkened slightly around the edges. And that should take about 10 to 15 minutes. You'll need to let that cool for 15 minutes. And then you can drizzle with the remaining 1 tablespoon of oil. Cut into 4 equal pieces and serve. So if you're looking for an easy asparagus tart that highlights the flavor of the asparagus, you might want to give that a try. Asparagus goat cheese tart. Maybe you have a very simple way to prepare asparagus, and you can call and share that, or any of the other produce, the vegetables, the spring vegetables that are available this time of year. Coming up this weekend, there'll be an Earth Day celebration in Beaver Dam, community cleanup and annual tree planting. The tree planting is going to be on South Spring Street and will begin at 9:15. There are other events that will be happening. Sustainable development at 11:15 at the Chamber office. Harvesting blue gold, which would be water reclamation techniques, at 11:45 at the Chamber. There'll be a BMX skate park cleanup from 1 until 4. Coffee and ice cream specials at both Blackwater's Coffee and Annabelle's if you're working downtown with the cleanup. Free paper shredding and food drop from 9 a.m. until noon in the Tower parking lot, sponsored by Tijeski Family Chiropractic. And we had Joanne Tijeski on the program here last Friday explaining all of the different things that you could bring. Just make sure you bring a donation to the food pantry as well. We are going to go to our phone lines. Go ahead. You're on the program.
Hi, Brenda.
Hello.
I was just writing down your last recipe with the asparagus tart.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed a small section in the middle there between lining the rim pan with the parchment paper, and then something about a pan in the center. And then I've got scored from, then I start, got from scored the puff pastry, da-da-da-da-da. But that in between those two lines, I've missed.
Okay, so you line your rimmed baking sheet with parchment paper, and you place the puff pastry in the center of the sheet.
Okay.
Then you grease the bottom of an 8-inch square baking pan because that's going to form your tart shape. So you grease the underside of an 8-inch square baking pan, place it in the center on top of the puff pastry, and then you put pie weights in that pan.
I see.
Then you use a sharp paring knife to score the puff pastry around the perimeter of the pan so that it bakes up then into that crust. It'll give it an edge about a quarter of an inch deep, but you don't want to go through the pastry.
Okay.
So, and then you leave the pan on the pastry, baking it for that first 20 minutes.
Okay. I got the rest. It's just that little section.
Okay,
there.
Sure.
Like, okay, what do I do with that pan?
Yes.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, sure. Yeah, that sounds like a good recipe, easy asparagus tart. And it looks very pretty in the photo that they showcase with it. So if you've got a good recipe for us, we are always looking for new recipes so that we can share them in the Idea Exchange editions. I am working on this week's edition, printing those today, and they will be available beginning on Thursday at all of our participating partners. But you might still be able to pick up last week's copy, or you can always send a self-addressed stamped envelope here to the radio station. We had a discussion on the potato tort pans that were created in Mayville back in the 1950s, and we got a number of potato tort recipes. So I put in a number of those versions. Also, mashed potato pancakes with onions and bacon, peanut butter cinnamon rolls, golden potato surprise, a number of different ways that you can prepare pork chops, orange glazed pork chops, cocoa cherry pork, root beer pork chops, and then we also have enchilada stuffed shells, oatmeal caramelettes, that was a recipe that was called in by one of our listeners, a grapefruit yogurt cake, and dandelion wine. We had someone who was looking for a method and the ingredients for making dandelion wine. So that was available in last week's, in April 13th edition. And this week's recipes will be available beginning on Thursday at Marshland Pharmacy over in Horicon, at Beaver Dam Piggly Wiggly, and also at Rechex Food Pride. So starting on Thursday, you can stop in and get this week's edition. The recipes are absolutely free when you stop in at our partners. Just make sure you thank them for offering this free service. And if you don't get there in time, or if you live too far away but you've heard a recipe that you would like, you can always send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Idea Exchange Recipes, 100 Bill McCollum Way, Beaver Dam, and it's 53916. Or you can go to dailydodge.com, click on the audio button, the audio tab, look for the ID Exchange, and listen back to any of the shows. And I won't be in tomorrow, but I'll be back on Thursday.
All right, I'll be in tomorrow for Brenda here on AM 1430 WBEV Beaver Dam. Take advantage of Countryside Ford Columbus Quick Lane Works Package. Oil change, tire rotation, free inspection, just $39.95.